Ipse leads the way.
Ipse.
One system, personnel, and pay.
Ipse.
21st.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Ipse podcast, where we give you updates on what's going on with the program. I'm Colonel Rebecca Eggers, the Functional Management Division Chief. And today I welcome back Sergeant Major Kress, the Senior Enlisted Advisor. And I welcome Master Sergeant Robert Simmons, who is the Senior Finance NCO on the program. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, thanks, ma'am. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us, ma'am.
And thanks to everyone for continuing to use IPSE and for bringing issues to our attention so we can make the system better. We really couldn't do it without users in the field. Just to give you a quick update, we have had over 745,000 users log into IPSE. We know that soldiers are updating their personnel information. We want soldiers to check their data, so we know that's why the user counts have risen. And we have over 100,000 users every single day use the system. And we're topping out at about 125,000 users at the peak since deployment. So we love that soldiers are using IPSE. We love that HR professionals are getting more comfortable with the system. And we continue to see the system stabilize as we continue to fix defects and users in the field tell us what they would like to see fixed. But one thing that we've been really excited about with Release 3 is the features that allow for talent management opportunities. As you may know, the CSA, the Chief of Staff of the Army, doesn't look at this as an HR system, but as a talent management system for the Army. And we want soldiers to have more control over their careers. So IPSE includes the Soldier Talent Profile, or the STP. And it's really important for soldiers to know what that is and how to make it work for them. So, Sergeant Major Kress, what can you tell us about the Soldier Talent Profile?
Yes, ma'am. So I think, you know, from a soldier perspective, when you're thinking about the Soldier Talent Profile, the STP, you kind of got to think in sense of a resume, right? So we specifically are not replacing, you know, the soldier record brief or the officer record brief. You know, that was a document that was largely administrative. We could look at that and, you know, kind of dissect a soldier through an Army lens. In a sense, right? There were some other elements on there, but the Soldier Talent Profile really gives a soldier the ability to showcase those KSBs that we often talk about, right? The knowledge, skills, and behaviors, which sets them up for an opportunity to seek maybe other career opportunities when we start to look at the future marketplace or, you know, how career managers may look to select talent for nominative type positions. So it really is a holistic view of a soldier, not just necessarily through that Army lens, but through qualifications, skills, experiences, things that they've done that they can show the Army and say, hey, this is what I can do. This is what I've done. And, you know, really use that as a platform to, you know, get them to where they're trying to go. And so from a soldier perspective, you know, each and every soldier, of course, has access to IPSE. And so they can access their Soldier Talent Profile at any given time. And it is important to really keep that updated. You know, TAG, General Johnson had put out, you know, that boards were going to start using this information, and soldiers have the ability to update that information right now. So it is exciting. We want them to go in there and see all the different things that they can update about themselves. And then from a leader perspective, you know, this is an opportunity that can create, you know, teaching, coaching, and mentoring. Sitting a soldier down and saying, hey, these are the things that you've done. You know, maybe you consider going here and doing this, or, you know, this is a hobby or something that you do well. You know, maybe that's something that you can incorporate into your professional life. So it really does expand the opportunities for both soldiers, leaders, and organizations.
That's a great overview. So specifically, what kind of workplace characteristics does the profile include? And then how do you envision, or how do you think that this information will be used?
That's a loaded question, ma'am. So I think, you know, the capabilities really, in a sense, are kind of endless, right? You know, from a program perspective, we have, you know, things that we want to get after and make this better. But to an organization, to a soldier, I would start with, you know, just the very basics. If I'm somebody that's, you know, trying to find talent to bring to the organization, you need to understand not only the talent that you have in your formation, but that you don't have. And so some of the things that you can look at are, you know, your traditional ASIs and SQIs when you start talking about qualifications. But when you start getting into the self-professed, which is really, from my perspective, you know, that whole new element that I kind of highlighted up front, you know, soldiers can really go in there and showcase, you know, say language skills they have, and, you know, talking about reading, speaking, and listening. And this isn't, you know, an official, you know, language test. This is just maybe, you know, soldiers had an experience here so they can, you know, showcase that for maybe future opportunities for assignments, self-study knowledge, other additional duties they've had, you know, thinking back to how we fill out an evaluation, you know, that soldier can go in and say, hey, these are, I was a boss representative, I was a key custodian, I was all of these different things, to really highlight their experiences. You know, furthermore, you can talk about the self-professed attributes. So thinking through the lens of, you know, leadership, physical attributes, you can even look at, say, civilian education. You can highlight things that you've done through your thesis and capstone. Maybe you had something that was a publication. You can actually share that link if you go in there and update your profile. So these are just a few things looking at, you know, some of the self-professed skills that a soldier can showcase themselves. I think that from an organizational perspective, again, it's very important. I think COMPOS 2 and 3 do a great job with this, right? Because they have, unless they're in the AGR program, you know, they have a civilian job, and that may not necessarily line up to what they do in the Army. And those organizations often understand what that individual does outside of their Army duties. And sometimes they can use that, especially when you look at deployments and other operational items. So I think from an organization, if you take a simple example, you think about, hey, we get a tasking, and we, ma'am, you've heard this one a lot. We use it when we go out on the road. But while it's simplistic, I really think it showcases not only what IPSA can do for a soldier and organization, but how we can just improve overall, right? So if there's a ceremony coming up in the organization, maybe a change of command or, you know, a ball or something, and we need somebody to sing the national anthem, the soldier has gone in and self-professed their ability to, say, sing or perform or do this sort of thing, instead of tasking, you know, a commander and a first sergeant to go down into their formation and figure out who can sing. You know, you can look right in the system within your formation and figure out, hey, we already have five people that are interested in singing, and you know, save the organization time. So from an organization perspective, again, understanding the talent that you have, from a soldier perspective, showcasing that talent, and then holistically from an Army enterprise umbrella, that age-old Army people strategy, right? Acquire, develop, employing, and retaining talent, how we can get that talent to the right place at the right time, through future marketplace capabilities, through career management placement, through other nominative opportunities. So the more information we have about a soldier, we can develop that soldier better and use that soldier's talents better.
Yeah, thanks, Sergeant Major. You know, I think from a soldier standpoint too, I mean, the STP really changes the game, but not just the STP. You know, now we used to rely on the SRB and the ERB and the ORB to actually allow soldiers to see their record. So now that soldiers actually have access to their record, the STP kind of takes on a whole different meaning, because it's really not so much for the soldier to see the record, but for everybody else to see, you know, a quick snapshot. So it does change the game a bit in that respect. And, you know, it is the one place that people migrate to. You know, everybody talks about the ORB, SRB, ERB, and since the STP is so similar, it's one of the first places that people go. And so for those who haven't already checked their STP, I know other folks are going to hear this and want to rush to their profile to check out, you know, their STP. So how do soldiers access their profile?
Yeah, I think you actually bring up a great point there, ma'am. Before I share how to get to that, you know, it really does give the soldier ownership of their record, how they can be seen, how they can be viewed, and how they can improve their career opportunities. But through the self-service, you know, soldiers can go to the Talent Management Work Center, or they can even click on their soldier talent profile tile right there on the landing page. If you don't see that, you know, you can personalize your homepage, put that on there, but you should see that right up front. And then you just click right in there. You can see the soldier talent profile, you know, save it PDF, or, you know, print it if you need to, maybe make some notes and things that you want to add, but very easy to access. So the Talent Management Work Center tile, or My Soldier Talent Profile tile, is where they can find it, ma'am.
Awesome. That's a pretty efficient way to get to it, since we know soldiers really want to know what's in their files, and their career information is consolidated and it's easy to find. Speaking of efficiency, you know, I do want to take a look at what Go Live has meant for MilPay, and Master Sergeant Simmons is here to give us the latest. So what's your team focusing on right now, Master Sergeant Simmons?
Yeah, ma'am. Thank you for having me again. Our team is really focused on ensuring that soldiers are being paid timely and, most important, accurately. The way that we do it is very unique in that we are looking at the DGMS transactions that are processed. On top of that, we're looking at functionality in the system that allows the process to be more timely.
That's awesome. So any feedback from the field that may result in future enhancements?
Yes, ma'am. Our field is very, very good at giving us feedback. A lot of the information that we're receiving is from payroll absence. So we are looking at a few changes in payroll absence, again, to look at the efficiency and how we create these processes. So one of the big hangups that I see most often is when a soldier sends out a transaction to request absence, what's happening is that a soldier can make a mistake and they can't pull that absence back from their approver or supervisor. So we're trying to create an enhancement to allow them to be able to do that.
I think you bring up a great point. You know, we really try to work through all the different scenarios when we did testing, but I think the true blessing in getting people on the system is you start to see these little tweaks that you have to make. I think that's a great one. You know, we didn't kind of work through that scenario if I had to change something. You know, we have the ability to change, but it is about making the system more usable for the soldiers. So if it's, you know, hey, can I pull it back before it's actually been approved instead of having to wait for it to be approved to update it, that's a great enhancement. And, you know, really just allowing soldiers to be able to access IPSE, to do different actions, to send transactions to DFAS without having to, you know, an S1 or a soldier having to take something to finance is a pretty efficient way to process things. So before release 3, you know, IPSE was available to the Army National Guard, you know, for several years. Now that we're several months into release 3, how do you think this has helped ease the transition to IPSE for the total force with regard to pay transactions and then where we're headed for when we actually begin paying soldiers?
So I think it really comes down to efficiency and experience. So what that looks like is we had the Guard working in the system. So we had the capability to see what the system can do and, you know, the mistakes that soldiers make, the mistakes that the system can make. And we are able to continue to enhance that. And we've actually, in the 4 months, we've processed over 700,000 transactions. So I know you earlier said about 750,000 soldiers using IPSE, but we processed over 700,000 transactions at nearly a 99% accuracy rate based off of the system. That says that, you know, we use those lessons learned from R2, and then it gave us a seamless process into R3. As we continue to make the system better, we're going to really look at those lessons learned and ensure that we can make the system completely better for the future.
Yeah, thanks, Sergeant Simmons. I think I can't stress enough, you know, with release 3 and just the triggers that we have, I think we've really come to learn that getting the data right is the key. So I think, you know, over the next several years before we, you know, get into actually paying soldiers, it is going to be a huge just data validation effort for the Army to make sure that we get pay right and we don't have, you know, some of the lingering data issues that we have. And, you know, discussing meal pay as it relates to IPSE really underscores how this system was designed to improve the lives of soldiers. You know, by linking that pay transaction to the personnel transaction, it really makes one an efficient process, but it ensures that those changes are timely. So, you know, soldiers aren't having to wait several months for their pay to catch up with whatever personnel transaction that was. It provides a bit of expectation management for a soldier, a bit of financial stability. And it's really important for people to understand that, you know, nothing should stand between a soldier and the money that they've earned and they deserve. So just know that we have a whole team of individuals ready to help and ensure the system works for you. And all right, that's it for this episode. I really thank you both for being here and thank you all for listening. Until next time, IPSE is your system.
Right soldier, right job, right on time.
24/7, 365.